It's all in perspective. There are people that are in this room that came to know Jesus in 2020. You were literally going to hell before 2020. It's a good year. It's a good year. How have you learned to lean on Jesus a little more in 2020? How many of you had to go through anger and frustration and came through in peace and love? It's called the crucible. Refiner's fire. That's a good year. I hope you ended 2020 more like Jesus. We're going to continue this morning a message I began 2 weeks ago. Let the 2021 world changers arise. And 2 weeks ago, we looked into the story of, I'm going to pause right there. I forgot to release Kingdom Kids. We love you guys. 4 to 8-year-olds. Kennedy, it must be your teacher. She's waving so politely at me. 4 to 8-year-olds, you can, and helpers, you can line up in the back. We love you guys. Got a bunch of great kiddos. Sorry about that, Kennedy. Thank you for waving at me. I was on my way down the road. I had left Kingdom Kids behind. Okay, so a couple weeks ago, we looked at Caleb and Joshua entering the promised land and how two of the great qualities that are needed in world changers are strength and courage. Do you remember that? If you missed it, you can grab the message again, listen to it on YouTube. We have a YouTube channel, James River Church. And God is looking for people who will rise up in his strength and in his courage because they know they're God. Not because they're all that. None of us are big enough, strong enough to change the world. But God's just looking for someone to partner with. And he won't do it without us. We can't do it without him, and he won't do it without us. He just decided from the beginning in the garden he'd partner with mankind. That's it. No other way. He's going to partner with people. And so I want to carry on with that message today. Because I feel like there's a lot of ground the Holy Spirit wants us to take in 2021. Guys, this is every day I feel like we're closer to the busting out of this third great awakening. Actually, the rumblings are in the earth for years. There are amazing things happening for at least a decade in the United States with the rise of a prayer movement, with like people grabbing a hold of their bridal identity with Jesus. I mean, there are so many amazing things happening in the body of Christ. And you know what? I don't think the church is sleeping anymore. Amen. That's huge. There has been and is an awakening happening in the land. And so I believe that the Lord wants the 2021 world changers to rise up. And this morning, I was going to actually continue with Caleb and Joshua, a few more qualities that we could see in their life, but I'm just going to fast forward past them, and I'm going to jump to Judges 4 and 5, and we're going to talk about Deborah. Because for about a month, actually, I always listen to the Bible. I also read the Bible. I'm just sharing this because some of you, this may help you. I read the Bible. I'm a slow reader. I have never read through the Bible in a year. I mean, I stand up and applaud all of you. Do, please, go for it. Do it. But I'm actually a very slow reader, and I have attention issues. Some of you will relate. This is going to make someone feel good in the room. Like, oh, I'm not the only one. You know, you can be a godly, amazing woman and man of God and have a little attention issues and where you can't, you know, stay focused for long periods of time. And God also helps us overcome those things. But I'm just saying, we can do things that work with our personality. Anyway, a number of years ago, I started also on top of reading the Bible, I listen to the Bible every morning. And I'm able to get through the Bible from beginning to end about 3 times a year. If I'm going kind of slow, I get it 2x a year. Plus, I'm reading it because I think there's something different when you read it. It's a very slow process. You get to pray it and mull over it. I love that. So in my listening, about a month ago, I was in Judges, and the story of Deborah just leaped out of me. I was in the shower. I was listening to it. I hopped out of the shower, backed it up, listened to the whole story again. I've probably listened and read the story of the judge of Deb of the judge named Deborah in the Old Testament, I don't know, maybe 20, 30 times in last month. Because I just feel like it's a word for this moment for us. So let me give you a little setup of the story of who is this woman named Deborah. Some of you in the room, this may be the first time you heard her name. You didn't even know she was in there. You are in for a treat if that's you, because this story is rich. Seriously, it's in Judges 4 and 5. And so on your own, I encourage you to go back and read it this week. After Caleb and Joshua took the land, what we talked about 2 weeks ago, Israel was established in the land, and the Lord had told Israel, if you fall into sin, if you don't obey me, if you don't follow me, bad things will happen. That's the Autumn Man summary. Follow me, get big blessings. Follow the devil, get big curses, okay? And so the Lord had warned Israel. And still, the history of the nation of Israel is the history of Israel rebelling against God, God lifting his blessing or allowing countries to come in and oppress them. Then they get desperate, they repent, they turn back to God. God comes, delivers them. Then they get comfortable and they rebel against God. And then nations come in and oppress them or carry them off to other countries. And then they turn and repent. And then God brings them deliverance. And this just happens for hundreds and hundreds of years. So you've got Israel's history right there. You are a history expert on Israel, ancient Israel. Some of you, that's your life too, right? Get a little comfortable, start forget about Jesus until you get desperate. What am I doing, right? Oh, let's not do that, guys. Let's break that cycle. So Israel at this time, they don't have a king. They don't have like a governor or an earthly leader like we would think of most nations having. They had a different kind of governmental system. The Lord had given them the law, and then he gave them judges. So if there were disputes, like people, you know, had disagreements, or maybe there's a land dispute or something, they would take it to one of the judges, okay? Now, this judge of the land, they were a literal judge. They would tell you what's right or wrong. No, you need to pay this person, you know, 200 shekels for that cow that you killed or whatever. You know, they would judge like that. They were also spiritual leaders, though. Prophets and spiritual leaders over Israel. The closest thing there was to like a governor or a president was the judge. And so at this time, there was a judge, a super amazing, godly woman judge named Deborah. Deborah was both a civil judge. She was also a prophet. She led Israel spiritually through hearing God's voice and speaking it. She's really quite amazing. So during this time, Israel again rebelled against God. They started doing their own thing, worshiping idols, sinning. And so, like the Lord said would happen, the Canaanites, this other group of wicked kingdom, came and began to oppress them. And for years, they were being oppressed by this, the Canaanite king called Jabin, I believe his name was. It says that the Canaanite king had a commander whose name was Sisera. Sisera was especially evil. It says he oppressed harshly the whole Israelite people. I don't think we can even relate to this. But if we had any Corinne, we have a few Corinne brothers and sisters in the room, they might be able to relate to being oppressed by another people group. They took away all their weapons because they wanted to make sure Israel couldn't rebel. They said there wasn't a blacksmith in the area. They had to go to the Canaanite land to sharpen their sickles so they could harvest because the Canaanites didn't want them making weapons. They were exercising taxes from them, really treating them harshly. And there came this moment where Deborah received a word from the Lord. She called in this Israelite named Barak, and she looked at him and she said, "It's time. It's time you rally the troops and fight against Sisera for our freedom. The Lord has said it." And so, you know, the Lord calls him and says, I'll read it to you because it's really powerful, actually. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, commands you. Call out 10,000 warriors from the tribes of Naphtali and Zebulun at Mount Tabor, and I will call out, this is the Lord speaking, I will call out Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, along with his chariots and warriors, to the Kishon River. There I will give you victory over him. And then Barak looked at her and said, I will go, but only if you go with me. It's very interesting. I don't think women went to war a lot in those days. It's really not until recent years that women even went to war in America and were pretty progressive. But he didn't even want to go to battle unless Deborah, the judge and prophet, would come with him. And she's like, okay, I will. So we read on that she actually went with Barak to help rally the troops. And then she went to the battlefield. Because it says that when Sisera, this evil commander, heard that Israel was in this certain field, or the Kishon Valley or whatever, that it says he brought his 900 chariots, which, by the way, that would be like having 900 tanks against, I don't know, 900 BB guns. That's what it was like in a war. Chariots were power. Remember, Israel weren't even allowed to have swords in their land. They couldn't even sharpen their sickles without getting permission. So, I mean, the odds are against them, but Sisera, oh man, there's an uprising. And so he brings his troops out there in all his pomp and glory and power. And Deborah looks at Barak and says, this is it. This is just what the Lord told you. Rise up and fight. And of course, the Lord gave him this amazing battle. The Lord fought for them. Because when we repent, the Lord fights for us. You may be in a really bad place right now. And you think, honestly, God's not on my side right now. But you know what? As soon as you repent, God is instantly fighting for you. That's really good news. So you may be off doing your own thing and reaping all the terrible benefits, quote unquote, consequences of running from the Lord. The devil's beating you up and you're in addictions and you've got brokenness. But the good news is, as soon as you repent, God fights for you. The moment. I mean, he's just that good. As soon as you line yourself up with him, he's like, I'm fighting your battle right now. So there was this amazing victory that happened. And then they write a song about it. And I want to read a verse from this song. I love that. I think that when you guys have a personal victory, you should write songs about it. I mean, they only have between you and Jesus. They don't have to be great, right? It'll be great for you. Who knows? They may be God's favorite song, the one you wrote. Here's a couple things that they write about this occurrence. In verse 2, it says, when the princes in Israel take the lead, when the people willingly offer themselves, praise the Lord. And I think 2020 is a time when God's people are going to start taking the lead, when they're going to begin to willingly offer themselves for the service of the Lord. And it's going to cause this hallelujah to rise in the land. Inactive people rising up and saying, I'll take the lead, Jesus. And then it goes on to this little golden verse right here in verse 7. It says, villagers in Israel would not fight. They held back. Until I, Deborah, arose, until I arose a mother in Israel. Do you know that the world is waiting for you to stand up in the power of God and do something? And even those in the church, even sleeping ones, are waiting for God's courageous ones to rise up and say, this is the right thing. This is the right way. I'm going to share the gospel. I'm going to start a devotional group, a Devo group or a Bible study group. I'm going to start a prayer meeting. I'm going to share gospel with my neighbor. It says the villagers in Israel would not fight until they saw someone rise up with the word of the Lord. When godly ones rise up in courage to lead, God brings awakening to sleeping believers around them. Has anyone followed, I hope you have, followed the story of Sean Foyt and what's happened in 2020 through his life? Sean Foyt is a worship leader, mostly a missionary, honestly. He leads worship and does missions work all over the world. Anyway, when 2020, when things got locked down, he began, you know, just to lead some, it started out really simply, some worship services out on the beaches in California. No one could gather in, you know, in buildings, so they were going outdoors with just live worship on the beach, super raw, nothing professional about it. I mean, he's an amazing musician, but I'm saying it wasn't about the sound system in that moment. And to their shock, hundreds, thousands of people began to gather, get baptized, saved, and baptized in the beaches. And then when the riots started and the unrest, they began to fly into cities where it was the worst, starting in Minneapolis even, and just start worshiping on the street, right there on the site where there had been murder, where there had been unrest. And people began to get saved. And they grabbed a cow tank filled with water, started baptizing people. I mean, it was like, this isn't lights and fog and like, you know, fancy. No, this is like a guy on a guitar, you know, in the middle of the street, worshiping his heart out. In some places, some cities they went into, the city themselves said, we'll confiscate all of your, all of your speaker systems if you set them up. And so you know what? They took a bullhorn and began to like shout into it and sing, and like the whole place erupted in like hours of nonstop worship, and then people got saved and they got baptized. I hope you've been following this. It's been going on all through 2020. They also did an event on the mall, the National Mall in DC. Do you know what that's an example of? Deborah Rising. Sean Foy, he's not the only one. This was, other people were doing similar things, but I want to say his name because many of you have been following it. There was this guy named Sean Foyt who stood up with the word of the Lord and worshiped God publicly, then proclaimed simple salvation message, and to our shock, people are getting saved. And guess what? I'm inspired. Because there's these other villagers that wouldn't fight until Sean Foyt arose, right? Deborah arose with a word, and then the people woke up and said, I want to fight, I want to engage in the battle. That's the effect of someone rising up with the word of the Lord, with the in the calling of God. Whatever the Lord's put before you is so valuable. Don't be jealous of another person's calling. Whatever God's given to you to do is valuable. If that's leading worship before thousands of people, awesome. But if it's inviting three people to your house to do a Bible study, that's equally awesome. Guess what? Those three people are never going to see Sean Foyt, but they see you. And you can bring them to Jesus. And then you can just open the Bible and story by story, simple discipleship, simple discipleship. Kaylee came to know the Lord, and I think within a month she was doing that with other people. This church is so pregnant with purpose. I've never known a group of people that have more giftings and callings and vision. You have vision running out your ears, James River Church. I can't talk to one of you that you don't have a plan for something amazing you want to do. A vision for reaching these people for the Lord. A vision for adoption. A vision for foster care. A vision for changing the whole foster care system. She's doing it. Winter's doing it. Let me talk about Winter for a second. This is really fun. Winter is a Deborah arising. Deborah arose. When she was young, she knew before she ever got married, she wanted to adopt. And actually, her and Chad, this is a fun story. I'll tell their little love story. They never dated. They were just friends. And they were just friends. And then Chad woke up one day and came to his senses and was like, what am I going to do? I'm going to let this girl get away from me? This is my version of the story. The Holy Spirit was gracious to Chad. because he who finds a wife finds a good thing. That's what the proverb says. And Chad wakes up, ding, 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 ding. If I don't get her, somebody will. She was out at Bethel Bible College. You don't stay single there very long. And so she comes home on Christmas break or spring? A break. Christmas, yeah. She comes home on Christmas break. They never have dated. He's never told her he likes her. And he tells her he wants to marry her and proposes. And she says yes. Well, actually, she says, what? And then he proposes. He's like, clear he's proposing. And she's like, can I adopt a baby from China? And he goes, yes. And then she says, yes. That's just a fun little story. I didn't tell it as good as they do, but yeah, she had standards. Of course, Chad had worked with orphans in Ukraine for like 7 years. It was in his heart too. Anyway, so, you know, they pointed their life at something, and through the foster care system, they've adopted 4 children, and they have a 5th child, little Silas, who, Silas, his name is Hong Kai, and his full name will be Silas Hong Kai, who's in China. And a year ago, they were preparing to travel to get Silas. And then COVID-19 happened. And so they're still waiting for their little Silas. There's so many things I want to say about that. Do we have pictures of Silas? Okay. This is an unveiling of the China baby. He's not really a baby, he's 7, but we call him China baby. Can we see Silas? He's so cute. Maybe, Brenda, could you just shut the lights off in the front just for a second so we can see little Silas? Silas Hong Kai. And actually, he's holding a picture book that they were able to send of their family. So he's in China holding a picture of his family in the U.S. Yeah. So just leave that up there. We're going to talk for a minute about how one person arising in their calling can change the world. First of all, they've changed their full family has changed, and they've changed the world for 4 kids already, right? They're going to change the world for this little guy, right? He's going to come into a forever home. That's going to be amazing. But you know, it doesn't stop there, because Winter and Chad have a passion for foster care and adoption. So Winter, a number of years ago, started a YouTube channel. Simple step in raising awareness about foster care. And so she just began to do little weekly YouTube videos about her journey with foster care, little things about their family and answering questions, raising awareness. Winter, off the top of your head, how many people have you helped personally come into the foster care, at foster care parents? How many foster care parents have you personally assisted? I know you're not the only thing happening in this world, but you've talked to them, you've encouraged them through what you've done. You've helped them come into being foster parents. How many? Don't be conservative. Be real. I think I know. At least 7.
Well, in Huron, probably 7.
In Huron, at least 7. But more than that, throughout the United States, including people in Missouri even, right? Huron's not that big, guys, and there's not that many foster parents, period, in the city of Huron. And 7 of those families have personally been influenced by Winter's YouTube channel and by her standing up and just saying, I'll be a Deborah. I'll arise with the word of the Lord. This matters. Her raising awareness has brought 7 families. Do you know that Huron, I recently talked to someone from the Department of Social Services about foster care. They said that Huron receives children all the way from Rapid City because we have an abundance of foster families. And Rapid City can't handle all the children. They don't have very many, they don't have enough foster parents signing up. And of course, that's changing too. And there's stuff, good things happening on the west side of the state. But guess what? Deborah arose, and others joined her in the fight. So now we're in this place where we've been waiting for little Silas to come home for a year, and China shut down, And so at the beginning of January, leading up to January, Chad and Winter, we're all doing fast. Hopefully all of you are fasting. I hope all of you are fasting. Don't miss the opportunity to do a corporate fast. So powerful. Doing it by yourself is powerful. Doing it with others, doubly powerful, honestly. So leading up to January, Chad and Winter had shared with our leadership team that they weren't doing just a 30-day fast, but they felt they were supposed to do a 40-day fast. A 40-day fast to break China open for adoption. Because they're not the only parents waiting for their little one. And so I said, I am in on that. So I personally changed my fast from a 30-day to a 40-day, and I added Silas and the opening up of adoptions all over the earth to what we're fasting for. So then Winter and Chad are like on different Facebook groups and encouragement groups, you know. And so they shared what they were doing. Like, hey, we're praying for 40 days. We're fasting for 40 days for the nations to begin to open up for adoption. And other families began to say, I've been thinking I should do something like this. I'm going to join you in fasting for the nations of the earth to be opened up for adoption. Guess what? When one Deborah arises, others join in the fight. And so then on one of the first days of the fast, Chad's praying and he sees a vision of a bridge from the West Coast to Asia. And that's where the adoption agency is on the West Coast. And he decides, I'm going to make T-shirts that say, like, what are the T-shirts going to say?
We're coming for you, Silas. We're coming for you, Silas, and then China 2021.
Okay. And then you're going to make other T-shirts that are just for, like, anyone that'll say what?
We're coming for you.
We're coming for you. And I said, I want a T-shirt. I want that. I'm going to pay for it. I want it. I'm going to wear it. I'm going to pray it. We are coming for you. Do you know what? This 40-day fast could change the world. I believe, I feel the Spirit on it so much, I literally feel like we're going to bust open the nations of the earth for adoption through this 40-day fast. And I'm bringing it up now because, could you guys stand up? We have a couple Deborahs that arose. Yeah, let's give them a hand clap. They rose up with the word of the Lord, with the mission of the Lord, and I feel it in my spirit, I'm joining in the fight. And so if you would like to go 40 days instead of 30, what's another 10 days without junk food and media? You guys, you should go your whole life without junk food and media, and you'd be better for it, right? Not that I'm not going to open up a bag of chips on day 41. I'm not going to. I'm really missing dark chocolate already. I mean, it's a real fast. Anyway, and so I'm going to do something bold right now. I don't want you to feel pressure, but yet I do want you to feel godly momentum. If you want to join in on this 40-day fast of praying for the nations of the earth to be opened up for adoptions, I want you to stand up right now. I'm standing up. Awesome. Now let's, if you have someone standing next to you, can you put your hand on them? We're going to pray for them. Yeah. Why don't a couple people come and lay your hands on Chad and Winter too? And we're going to pray for strength for these that feel called to this. Lord, right now, God, for those that are feeling the call to pray and fast for the nations of the earth to open up, we ask strength in them now, Lord. God, give them prayers to pray. God, we say, kingdom come and will be done in Jesus' name in the nations of the earth. We declare borders are opening for adoptions now in Jesus' name. Kingdom plans are being released right now to leaders. Peace is being released to waiting parents. Divine grace to little ones. Father, we just declare, God, the nations of the earth are opening up in Jesus' name and children are coming home in 2021. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, amen. Praise God. We can get the lights again. I can't wait to hug him. him. Praise God. I'm so proud of you guys, and I'm thrilled to be praying alongside you for this. Let me tell you a couple other Deborahs that rose up, even in our congregation, to do something great for the Lord. And that's Brenda and Ruby. Brenda and Ruby, can you stand up? I love these two little powerhouses over here. We love you guys so much. You can sit down again. Do you know that, I don't know, several months ago, Ruby came to me and she said, Brenda and I, we want more prayer to be happening in the church. And I said, amen. I want more prayer happening in the church too. And she says, you know, we had this idea. We want to open the church up every day, Monday through Friday, from 2 to 4 p.m. for soaking prayer. People just can come in, they can pray. Now, Brendan and Ruby are retired, semi-retired. They have a schedule where they could do that. You know what I loved about this? I immediately said, yes! And she actually said, well, I was wondering if I could have a key. And I said, I could meet you down there today. Well, I offered the guys, you need a key. Yeah. In 10 minutes, we were down here at the church, and she says, I thought you'd have to think about it longer. I said, I don't have to think about prayer and worship happening at the church. Please, run with that vision. Now, sometimes through the years, what would happen is someone would come to me and say, or Jeff, I think more prayer needs to be happening at the church. I'm like, awesome. And really what they're saying is, you need to do more prayer at the church. You need to open up the church like every single day. Or you know, and I'm like, you know, got a full enough schedule. But do you want to lead it? You know what? Not a hint of that. They had a vision from the Lord, a word from the Lord. We're to build the house of prayer, and we want to be part of it. Within 10 minutes, they had a key, and the next day, they were meeting. And that's been going on for months. The presence of God, the Lord is being glorified every day of the week in this building. Because there was a Deborah, a couple Deborahs that rose up and had a vision from the Lord. They didn't expect someone else to do it. They said, this is an idea the Holy Spirit's given me. It's a mission I have, a passion I hold, and I can do this. And so they rose up. And do you know, there are people that have never been in our Sunday morning service that come Monday through Friday, 2 to 4. People who don't know Jesus, like quite a few, are coming into prayer from 2 to 4 and getting saved. They've had some bathtub baptisms even. That's amazing. Now, when they started prayer, they probably weren't even thinking that they were going to lead people to Jesus during prayer. I am amazed by how many people have been blessed and are involved in that. Thank you, Brenda, for running with the vision. Thank you, Ruby, for not throwing it onto somebody else. Ruby at one point said to me, the Lord told me I had one more mountain to conquer. Ruby, I hope you have 10 more mountains to conquer. I love it. I love watching you conquer mountains. I'm going to do one more. A few months ago, Jeff really had the Buddhist people in our city on his heart. And he's probably always had that in his heart off and on. Of course, you know we have a heart. We're a missions church. We're thinking about other people as a church, right? We are thinking about the lost as a church. We should be, right? We're thinking about other nations. The world is big. The world is big. We need to have a big vision. And so years ago, Jeff asked the Lord, God, I want a part of the world. Like, I want all the lost to be saved, but I feel like I want to focus on a certain part of the world. Would you show me what part of the world I should focus on in prayer, in giving, in going? And he felt like the Lord laid on his heart Southeast Asia. Thailand, Laos, Cambodia, Vietnam, the Buddhist world. And so for years, Jeff has stood in the place of prayer just privately and contended for the Buddhist world, praying for them regularly, mentioning it in sermons. He went on a missions trip with our two oldest children to Thailand about a year ago. They were preparing for that right before the world shut down. They were in Thailand. Yeah. And so then here recently, he's just like, oh, I've got to reach Buddhists in our city. I've got to reach Buddhists in our city. So he began to go out. He's praying already. Began to go out, I don't know, maybe a couple times a week to try to reach Buddhists. The problem is most of the Buddhists, honestly, that he would come in contact with didn't even speak English in our city. And so sometimes he'd take someone else with him. Then he recently met another believer who spoke Korean fluently, who wanted to go out with him and be taught. So then Jeff's like, great, I've got a Timothy. He's teaching him how to share the gospel in simple ways. They go together to Buddhist homes specifically, and he can translate, and he's training him. Just the other day, he met another man who is already doing this in the city, and they're going to begin to team up. Do you know what's happening? It's the beginning of the Deborah arising. Actually, several years ago, he began to pray. He arose in a call of God on his life, right? And he says, I'm going to do two things with this, and this is what each of us need to do. When you know God's given you a vision, number one, I'm going to begin to pray that thing into being. Matthew 6:10 says, Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray. And he says, your kingdom, pray this, your kingdom come, your will be done. Kingdom of God, come to Huron, South Dakota right now, to the Buddhist people. Your will be done in the Buddhist people in Huron. And we know what his will is, that none should perish and everyone should come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we know, Jeff preached it just last week, how will they ever come to faith unless they hear? And how will they ever hear unless someone goes? Can you imagine how incredibly frustrating and actually discouraging it could have possibly been for Jeff to go to home after home and talk to people who couldn't understand him? I have so much admiration for you. I mean, it's very discouraging to have burning message in your heart, and all you can do is like, Jesus, pray you. That's literally what he does. He's like this sign language, or can I pray for you? And uses the name of Jesus. But I promise you, as soon as he prays for those people, they are marked by the Holy Spirit, and God is now at work because he found someone to partner with him. He found someone to rise up with his heart and say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go. It doesn't look very fancy right now. I don't know if this story is worthy to write in a book, but I will rise up in this call and I will go. And by the grace of God, others are now like gathering around him. Many of you have been going with Jeff for years, actually, door to door. And having Bible studies, I mean, Anna and Jen and Kaylee, and I mean, so many of you. But now it's beginning to happen among the Buddhists. Sometimes we just have the wrong idea of what a world changer looks like. We just read the glory stories and we think it's just all like glory, you know, and excitement. You know what? It's a lot of prayer on your face. And then you know how the children of Israel took possession of the promised land? One step at a time. And not every step was fireworks going off. We take a couple steps and fireworks don't go off at our feet. We're like, kind of bored with this already. Nothing's happening. Take another step. And oh, now we came to the Jordan River. Some of you know the story. And then they took a step that parted the river. That was an exciting one. Then they walked through on dry ground. And then they come against their first huge city, Jericho, which had fortified walls and couldn't be penetrated. And the Lord said, don't use one single weapon, just march around it for 7 days. There were a lot of boring steps. boring, just all day for 7 days, marching around a city. No fireworks going off at your feet every time you step down. Nope, just, and you know what else? God told them, don't even talk. He knew they'd mess it up and begin to complain since it was their greatest gift, complaining. And they just walked around that thing 7 days. How do you take your promises? One step at a time. One faithful, obedient step at a time. And then on the seventh day, he said, march around seven times. That was a long day. It was a big city. Boring round one, boring round two, boring round, but obedience, faithfulness, perseverance, obedience, faithfulness, perseverance, obedience, faithfulness, perseverance. And on the seventh time around the city, the Lord himself shouted and the city crumbled. Was there an earthquake that the Lord sent? Was there? I don't know how he did it, but he literally crumbled the walls and Israel people ran in and devoted the city to the Lord. We just have the wrong view of what it looks like to be a world changer. You are called to be a world changer in 2021, and it looks like getting on your face before the Lord in prayer and then getting up and taking one faithful step at a time in obedience to whatever the Lord has put before you, whether it's to foster kids or adopt, or whether it's to share the gospel with your coworkers. We're all called to that one, guys. We don't get out of that one. Greatest commandment, love the Lord. Greatest commission, share the gospel. I feel like 2021 is a year to launch. And I'm asking the Lord bold questions. Like, Lord, how do we really become a sending center? This is a vision we've had for years. The Lord has spoken this church will be a watering hole, an equipping, and a sending center. But God, how do we do it? How do we take a step? How do we take a step? And we've been praying for missions. We've been going on missions trips. Many of you have personally went on a missions trip. But how do we go to the next step, Lord, equipping and sending people to the nations? This church has an inheritance in unreached people groups. And by the grace of God, we're going to grab a hold of it one step at a time. Because the revival that's coming and the harvest of souls that are coming, we're going to need so many equipping centers in the earth. There's not enough to hold the harvest that's going to come in. There's not enough places to equip. There's the IHOPs and the Bethels. Those are amazing. But all of them max out at a certain number. And when we have a million soul harvest in the five-state region, and we have tens of thousands of young people saying, volunteering to go to the nations, we are going to need equipping and sending centers all over the Midwest. And I am saying, here am I, Lord. We're going to do this by the grace of God. Chad, I meant to tell you at the very beginning that I was going to have you come up at the end and play for worship, more worship. Chad, would you mind playing something amazing? Only amazing songs. Anything he does is amazing. I was just teasing. I actually want us to be able to have a response time, and I was wondering if we could, would you mind moving to the front row, and if we could just move this first row back and move that row back a little bit, just so we'll make a little more room up here. Yeah, that's good. We are working on an expansion, a little expansion, and I ordered 30 more chairs, which I don't think we can fit 30 chairs in the sanctuary, but by faith. By faith. Sorry, Lamisha. So I want us to have a time of response. I don't want this just to be like, I think the Lord uses inspiration. He does, he inspires us. But we want this moment right now to be more than just an inspirational moment. I really want it to be a launching moment for you. A defining moment where you're like, I'm moving out of inactivity in a certain area of my life, and I'm moving into partnership with the Lord. And whether it looks fancy or it looks raw and kind of rough, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to be inactive anymore. I'm going to take a step. I'm going to begin to really do something with the vision the Lord's put before me. Let's just stand up right now. Thank you, Lord. I see so much fruit in this room, Lord, and I am so grateful for it. God, thank you for fruitful vines that have come up in the Father's house, Lord. Thank you for people who care about you. Thank you for people who care about your vision for the earth, Lord. Thank you for people who care about what you care about, Lord, who care about the lost, who care about the hurting, who care about the dying. There's healing ministries. I really believe there's healing ministries that are going to rise up in this church. There are many of you that have a healing gift that you're just going to enter into a new level of using that, first of all, and of fruitfulness through that gift. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So what we're going to do is, if you want to respond to this message, I'm going to invite you to the front. You can come all, I mean, we just kind of could spread all the way between the old closets to the windows. If you feel uncomfortable being close to that many people, grab a mask, or you don't have to come up if you're uncomfortable. Honestly, don't come up. But I just want to invite you to respond. And then we're going to spend some time worshiping the Lord up here. And you're going to talk to Jesus about this. Because this isn't like someone lays hands on you and boom, you're delivered of inactivity and all of a sudden you're doing things now. This is you talking to God and getting real. There are areas in my life that I've been inactive. I've not been actively pursuing the Lord in that thing. It's not okay with me anymore. Thank you, Lord. So if you want to respond to the word, I just want you to come up to the altar and we're going to worship the Lord together. Some of you may be coming up because you actually want to receive Christ. That's okay. Just come on up today, right now, and you can receive Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior. Let's just make room in the aisles for more people. Kind of go spread to the sides. There you go.